guys, welcome to Crossroads. It's great to be with you. You know, today is going to be an exciting day. We've got some exciting updates that we're going to give you and announcements we're going to make. And later in the service, Brian Tome has a special message that is just for Crossroads Anywhere people. This is the only place you can get it. So today is a good day for us to be together. We're going to get started. Glad you're here.
Our nation is facing a problem. It affects every single one of us. Every man, child, woman, child.
People don't have time to do anything.
They go from here to there to there to here.
Some people have two cell phones.
Kids have karate practice.
Everyone is so busy.
Why?
Are we losing our humanity? Is humankind becoming human-kinda?
Oh, that's good. Write that down, actually.
I wanted to find some answers. And I think I might have. Hi, I'm Sam Richardson, actor, comedian, collector of clocks. I went from L.A. to New York to D.C. to Florida to Miami, which is in Florida.
Then I took a personal trip to Seattle.
It was nice. I've talked to swamis and ducks, even an elephant. By the end of this documentary, I hope to answer the question, why are we so busy? Or as my elephant friend said, Fiff, follow me into this adventure.
First, I hit the streets to investigate this busyness problem up close.
That's perfect.
Excuse me, ma'am, are you busy?
I can't stop.
You can't because she's so busy. Ma'am, would you say that you're busy?
I'm on the phone.
Oh.
I'm busy, yeah.
Are you into a client right now?
Yes.
In the fourth grade, there's a lot of work to do.
What does your job include on the day-to-day?
Just slicing bread for $8.
I'm so lucky that I'm on the news right now.
This isn't the news.
People were too busy to talk to me, so I decided to sweeten the deal.
So if you could go to Puerto Rico right now, would you go?
What's the catch?
The catch is you have to go right now. That's the catch.
6 months ago would have been probably different.
It kind of seems crazy to drop everything and run.
Puerto Rico, free trip. Doesn't that sound like a relief, just to get to drop everything and leave?
Just like drop it and go?
Yeah, why not? Life is too short.
Life is too short. That's yeah. Very true.
I can't, but I would.
Great. So are you not really that busy?
Just say yes!
Man, would you go? Could you drop everything and go to Puerto Rico on a moment's notice? Hey, my name's Andy. It's really, really good to be with you guys. I'm normally up at our Mason campus, but I am down here as we continue this series on margin. And throughout the rest of our time today, we're going to be looking at what it means to have meaningful space, space in your life to connect with God and to connect with other people. And it has brought this song to mind for me, this little simple chorus that I sing to my 18-month-old daughter when she's all ramped up and I'm trying to get her to go to sleep, or honestly, like when I'm laying in bed and anxious. And it's a prayer that God would slow me down. So I want to sing this for us.
Slow me down, oh Lord, slow me down. Help my heart to hear your sound. Speak into my life, Lord, speak now. Slow me down.
Who brings the power of sin and darkness? Who loves
answer me from where the thunder hides. I can't outrun this heart I'm tethered to. With every step, I collide with you.
Here we go.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fear, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fear. You cannot fail.
Watching a dude and he got hit in the face with another dude, and that was pretty manly. He came up split, and I'm like, yeah, man, put some Vaseline on it. You're ready for another, you know? But yeah, it was pretty good.
My small group leader, Matt, was like, hey, man, we got this man camp thing coming up. And I was like, I really need some changes in my life right now. So I was like, I'm gonna step up and do it. Why not? So I did, and it has changed my life.
Being around a group of people that are open and are vulnerable and love Jesus with all of their hearts.
I'm not a camper. I don't sleep outside. I don't sleep on a cot that's hard as a rock. And those things make me really reluctant when it comes to camping. And I finally decided to come, and it's been an awesome spiritual experience, more than I had imagined.
I was surprised at the type of people that came, to be honest. I wasn't expecting like super macho guys just coming out to experience Jesus.
The fact that there were two trailers of beer and a giant arm wrestling contest, pretty impressive. And just the fact that, you know, a bunch of guys sitting around a campfire, smoking cigars, drinking whiskey, talking about God. Well, I've never felt like so much of a man before.
I mean, I thought one of the most powerful things is when we're in the big tent, you know, praising God.
To be with over 1,000 men worshiping God, and yeah, after that I was fired up.
So I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering addict of about 2.5 years now. My entire life up until January, my philosophy was, you know, God is an imaginary friend for adults. And I made the decision during the I Am journey to come to Man Camp. And then I'd been thinking about getting baptized. And when I found out that they do baptisms here at Man Camp, I'm like, that's the perfect time to do it. Without accepting him into my life, even being in recovery and being clean, I felt like I wanted to kill myself. Jesus to me is, he saved my life. That's who Jesus is.
That's the kind of God that we sing about and that we sing to. A God that brings new life and healing and saves us. Let's sing this together. Why don't you guys pray with me? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to experience margin, to experience rest, and that you would just slow us down today. Help us to encounter you and to be changed by that encounter. In your name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for singing with us. You sound awesome. Hey, do me a quick favor. Be friendly for like 20 seconds. Say hello to a couple people, introduce yourself, and grab a seat.
Hey guys, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Matt. I'm the campus pastor of Crossroads Anywhere, and I am incredibly excited to tell you about something that we've been working on in the background that I think is going to change the game for all of us in the Crossroads Anywhere community. You know, every week we get emails from people or messages on Facebook wanting to know if there's people in their town, on their street, in their city, who are also a part of Crossroads Anywhere, who they could be friends with, have community with, be in a group with, do anywhere together with. And we help connect those people, but what we wanted to do is create a tool where you're able to do that yourself. And so we're really excited to announce that there is now a tool called Crossroads Connect. You can go to crossroads.net/connect, and what you'll see there is a map of the United States. When you log in, you can update your profile information, and then you have an opportunity to put yourself on the map. You become one of the dots on the map that people can find and connect with. And then that enables you to look around where you live, to look around your city and your neighborhood, and find all of the other people who are also a part of Crossroads who you can start relationships with. All that looks like is you just pulling up someone's map dot, clicking say hi, which sends them an email, and then they have an opportunity to email you back. And at that point, you guys are fast friends. You can text, email, do whatever you want to do. We are excited that we're giving all of us the opportunity to create community and sort of stand up and be counted as part of the Crossroads community all over the country. And we're excited and have a vision for there to be map dots all over the country. You know, we have people who watch Crossroads anywhere from every state. And every week we can see maps of people popping up everywhere. And we're excited for those people to be able to be on team and doing life together with people in their neighborhood. Because for us, church isn't a solo sport. We know that when we grow closer to God, that happens best in a team environment where we're sharing our life with other people. People know us, we know them, we can encourage each other. And we're excited that through Crossroads Connect, we can make that happen. So today, right now, even, as soon as you can, go to crossroads.net/connect and put yourself on the map. As you're searching around, you might be thinking, hey, this is a great opportunity for me to gather people together for my Go Local project. You know, if you don't know, Go Local happens May 20th, and it's our one-day serving blitz all over the country where teams of people gather together, and in their neighborhoods, they partner with organizations that are making a difference. And along with them on that day, they might do landscaping projects and painting projects or take care of kids, whatever makes the most difference to that organization. And as you're thinking through your Go Local day, what a great way to use Crossroads Connect to find people to do a Go Local project with. You know, if you want more information on Go Local, just go to crossroads.net/go local. You'll see that there are official cities where there are multiple Go Local projects happening all over the country. And if you're not in one of those cities, we want you to start one. Just you and the people who you find on Connect, or your friends, your family, your coworkers. It's an awesome opportunity to get to know people, to just serve alongside of them is a great way to start that team environment. You know, all of these things, the building of Connect, Go Local, they all require resources to fuel and to fund, to make happen. And honestly, I'm excited to be a part part of the team of people who give generously to create these resources and make this happen, because on the other end of all of this is life change and people's lives being drastically better. And if you want to be a part of that team, you can go to crossroads.net/give and set up a recurring gift. You can do it weekly or monthly, whatever's best for you. And while we do that right now, we're actually going to get an update about a really exciting thing we call the I'm In campaign. Glad you're here.
We live in an overwhelming world sometimes, and it is certainly not interested in helping us sort out how to make our lives work. But God is different. He calls his followers to bring the freedom of Jesus to this crazy world. And he's given Crossroads specific responsibilities in this mission. In 2015, our community entered into the I'm In campaign. 14,000 people said, "I'm in" on this mission. And they made a 3-year commitment to give over and above their normal giving to Crossroads. This money is allowing us to chase after things that God is putting in our path, things that are advancing his kingdom. Hi, I'm Danny. My husband Judd and I volunteer around here at Crossroads, and one of the ways that we are seeing God move in a really big way through the I'm In campaign is with camps. Because of those of you who are fulfilling your I'm In commitments, Crossroads was able to purchase 435 acres of land in 2016 just to run camps. That means that men and women and married couples from all over the country are able to be stretched and grown by getting away for the weekend and shutting off the noise of the world. And this is allowing them to get into deep relationships and authentic community where they're able to have the freedom to be honest about things that are big wins and losses and struggles and hopes and dreams. And in the middle of that, God is showing up in incredibly life-changing ways. To date, 1,300 women have experienced Woman Camp, and another 1,400 are going in a couple weeks. Last month, 700 couples attended the first couples camp. And last week, 1,400 men showed up for Man Camp, which takes that number to a total of 7,000 men impacted by Man Camp since Man Camp started. I'm in because I want to see people experience a deeper connection with God that's virtually impossible to do in this noisy world. And we're seeing that happen through camps. So, well done on those of you that are fulfilling your commitments for I'm In. Be encouraged. Because of your sacrifice, lives are being changed forever.
Well, I am encouraged by that. Are you encouraged by that? Man, if you are one of the 14,000 people who are in, you should be deeply encouraged by that. My wife and I are in, and we're fulfilling our commitment along with so many of you. And I don't know if this is your story. I didn't grow up in a family that owned land. And so for me, every time I see those videos, I'm reminded that with 14,000 of my brothers and sisters, we own land where God is changing couples, where men are experiencing freedom, and women are experiencing a fresh identity in Jesus. That is amazing. I am pumped about that. I am so excited to be a part of that. And that's why following through on those commitments is so important. So thank you for all of you who are fulfilling. And man, let's keep going together. Hey, I'm Chuck, if we haven't met, by the way. Excited to be with you as we continue to talk about margin. And before I go any further, let me pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that you are moving. I thank you for all of the stories of life change that we've seen in just the first half of this service of men whose lives have been impacted, couples, women, what you're doing in children and kids club right now in the lives of students. And God, I know that that happens because people make margin for you to move. People make margin to meet you where you're moving, I should say. And so I just pray that we would have a posture of wanting to listen to what it is that you're saying today, and that we would be giving space to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, the powerful thing about camps is margin. Margin. People set aside 30 hours of time to do something out of their normal routine to experience God. And you know what happens? They experience God. They experience transformation, they experience change. That's why we're in a series where we're talking about how can we make space in our lives? How can we make space for breakthrough? And last week, we talked about the fact that when you make margin in your life gets better. That's just the way it works. And so this week and next are really application of that principle of making margin. So next week, we're going to talk about how can you make margin in your finances? Awesome. We're going to help you find money next weekend. Who's excited in finding some money next weekend, right? Yes. And here's the great thing. We're not going to even ask you for any of it. There's no like bait and switch ask that's coming on the other side of it. We just know that when you find margin in your money, there's something that can happen in your life. And today, I want to talk about how can we find margin in our time. So, talking about time management, margin, man, the last thing we need is more information on this topic. In fact, I did an Amazon search. There are 48,475 books on Amazon on time management. Who has time to read them? So we don't need more information. So as I've been thinking about this message, the question really for me has been, what is distinctly Christian? What is distinctly Jesus? What is distinctly biblical about how to view and use time? And I just kept coming back to this basic core principle. It's the principle of the Sabbath. We see this from the very creation story in the beginning of the Bible. We see it all through the Bible, this idea of Sabbath, which means ceasing. It means to take a rest. It means that there are times when we're to be and not do. And that is the distinctly Christian perspective. And it's not meant to just be a rhythm in the 7 days of a week, but really a rhythm and a way of life. So in a series called Margin, where we're talking about making space, you might expect me today to be challenging you to stop doing some things with your time, to cut some things out, and that's actually not where I'm going. In fact, I want to challenge you to add some things to your time in the spirit of observing the Sabbath. We see the principle of observing the Sabbath all over the Bible, like I said. One place where it shows up is in Deuteronomy chapter 5, where it says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." This is given to the nation of Israel as a part of the ways of being the people of God. They had spent 400 years in slavery. They did not know how to live as free people. And so what God is doing in the book of Deuteronomy is he's laying out the laws. He's saying, here's how free people live, and specifically, here's how people I have freed who are in relationship with me, says God, here's how they live. And among that, he says, you don't work all the time. You have a space in your life called Sabbath. And I want to focus in on these particular words. He says to them, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there. And from that, I want you to get this big idea in your head today around Sabbath. Practicing Sabbath is an emancipation proclamation. When you practice Sabbath in principle, it is an emancipation proclamation. Slaves do not have rest, but free people rest. Thinking of slavery, it obviously isn't just a historical reality, it's a modern day reality. And one of the things we're going after in some of the things that we do as a church is freeing girls in India and other places who have been trafficked into the sex trade. And they are slaves, they are literally slaves. And we're finding ways to engage in the freedom work over there, sending people over there, sending resources over there. But one of the things we've had to learn is the kind of the ugly underbelly of how these girls get trafficked. And I tell you what, there is a way to make a slave. And the way to make a slave is you take someone's identity away from them, you isolate them and remove them from their community and from their family, and then you have them believe that the only value they bring in the world is based on what they do and not who they are. That's how you make a slave. And the sad thing is, if you look at our calendars, a lot of us are slaves to time. We are driven to an identity. We are slaves to try to prove something. We're trying to achieve something. We're slaves to an image that we have to maintain on Snapchat or Instagram of the life that we're living. So we're so busy all the time, and we use that as a badge of honor, and it is making us a slave. And God would say to us in a very real way, you have to wrestle with this question. Are you mastering time, or is time mastering you? Because Jesus would say, I don't want you to be a slave. Now, let me not act like I always have this together in my own life. In fact, I was reminded this week as I was preparing for the message that I picked a word to kind of define 2017 for me. You want to know what the word was? It was margin. And I forgot. Up until this week, I forgot that was my word. That's how powerful it was for me, right? So I don't always get this. This is a struggle for me. But let me tell you where that word came from. At the end of 2016, I went away, as I typically do, and just kind of reflect on the year and reflect on kind of what the next year is going to bring. And in doing that, got a really good kind of plan from a friend of mine. Hey, take your checkbook and take your calendar and literally just look at what you've done, how you spent your time and your money this year. And when I did that, there were some painfully glaring realities. One of the glaring realities was I spent way too little time and way too little money dating my wife. And we're fixing that. We're fixing that. So we've been on a rhythm of regular date nights, and I think we're experiencing the fruit of that in our relationship. The other thing that stood out for me was that in 2017, I just did, celebrated 10 years on staff at Crossroads. So I've been a pastor for 10 years, which is like mind-blowing for me. That's wild. And so I was reflecting on that. Thank you. I think that means you want me to stay, so that's great. And so I was reflecting on that and realizing, you know what, there's this rhythm called sabbatical that is oftentimes a part of the rhythm of ministry, and maybe it's time for me to lean into that. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a month off in June to really reflect on some things over the last 10 years and rest and play with my family and then spend some additional time kind of just letting God speak to me about whatever he wants to say about what would the next 10 years of ministry look like. I need that margin. I need Sabbath. I think we all do. And, you know, the thing that we often say that keeps us from it is, I'm busy. In fact, if I were to hang out with you right after the service, wherever you are, wherever you're watching this, and ask you, hey, how you doing? Most of us would answer by saying, I'm busy. And you notice, it's not even enough now to say, I'm busy. Now we have to say, I'm crazy busy. I'm like crazy super busy, right? And we use that as a badge of honor, and yet there's something that Jesus would say to those of us who are busy. We see it in Matthew chapter 11. He would say, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know how busy you are. I don't know how super crazy busy you are. But wherever you are, do those words not sound delicious? I mean, if words can sound delicious, those words sound delicious. And Jesus is offering us that, but the question is, will we take it? Because in a very real way, the message of Jesus is you are no longer a slave. When you come into a relationship with Jesus, you are not a slave. Nothing of your life should reflect the life of a slave. And as a free person, you need Sabbath. You need margin. You need space in your time. So like I said, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to add something to your life in the direction of Sabbath. Because here's what I've learned. In anything that you want to change in your life, it never works to cut things out. You notice that? If you ever try to do a diet and say, I'm just going to stop eating these 8 things, that doesn't work. You have to add something healthy to displace what's unhealthy. The same is true with time. The way that you get more margin in your time is you add healthy rhythms of Sabbath to displace the unhealthy things that need to fall off your calendar. So I'm going to give you two things to think about adding for the sake of Sabbath. The first is, how about adding some sleep? Amen. Yes. Yeah, you gotta love that. You come to church and the preacher tells you to take a nap. The preacher is telling you to take some sleep. In fact, there's a gentleman over here who's practicing it right now. I didn't mean right now, but I'm just saying, you know, when you leave here, like, take a nap. We need more sleep than we get. We need more sleep than we're getting. The data says that, but I came across a writer this week that I think really put a spiritual perspective on sleep that was profound. I'm just gonna read 2 sentences from what is a longer article. He said this: next to prayer, sleep may be the most central practice that lines up with the truth of who we are. Really? Next to prayer, not Bible, I mean, not going to church. There's a lot of things that could go next to prayer, but why sleep? And as I thought about it more and more, I think he's right. Because you know what? Sleep is the great leveler. I don't care how much money you make or how much money you wish you made. I don't care how super crazy busy you are or how busy you are not. We all need sleep. It is the great leveler. And sleep reminds us that we're fragile. Sleep reminds us that we're dependent. Sleep reminds us that we're not self-sufficient. And I think this is such an important lesson that God said, I'm going to remind you of this fact just about every 24 hours, that we need sleep. He goes on to say, every time we go to bed, we humbly admit again that the world will be fine without us for a while. That is really deep. That is really spiritually profound. In fact, we see this in the Bible. We see in the book of Isaiah, who was a prophet, God taking issue with his people because they would not rest. In Isaiah 30:15, he says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. And actually, if you go on, he says, but you would have none of it. He's calling his people to the carpet because they will not rest. So I want to give you an action step on this one. I'll give you an action step on sleep. Kyle talked about setting a bedtime last week, and I think that is a profound and great thing to do, very practical thing to do. If you haven't thought about that, do that. Set a bedtime for yourself. I'll give you another one. Because I don't think that the biggest challenge for us is that we lack the ability to go to bed on time. That's for sure. For some of us, that's the thing. I think there are others of us, probably a large number of us, our problem isn't getting in the bed. Our problem is going to sleep once we're in the bed because of anxiety, because of pain, because of other things that keep us up at night. And so here's the next step I want to challenge you to. What if you begin to ask God for sleep? What if you begin to ask God for sleep? Maybe when you were younger like me, your parents taught you some bedtime prayers. And if you learned some, you may have learned this one. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And here's the thing. That is good theology. Because what that prayer says is, at the end of all of my efforts, I have to realize that I am limited. So I'm laying myself to sleep and entrusting myself to someone who is limitless. And so if you're in a place where sleep is a struggle for you, I just feel like that was something that was bubbling up in me. Man, ask God for sleep. So maybe some of us need to add sleep. The second idea is some of us just need to add space. You just need a little space. So one of the challenges last week was to just make a move in the direction of margin, whatever that was. Well, my move in the direction of margin was, it was my first week back driving. If you were in Oakley, you know I had a sling on last week. I had shoulder surgery recently. Thankfully, I'm out of the sling at this point, still recovering, but out of the sling. And it was my first week driving again. And so my move toward margin was no radio in the car, which is really, really hard. In fact, at one point, I'm like driving with my right hand. I got a sling on my left. I am so used to turning the radio on, it kind of dawned on me that I didn't have it on. I'm like trying to reach over with my sling hand to turn the radio on. I mean, I could have had an accident trying to get noise in the car. And so it was hard, but it was so good for me to just have all that space in the car. I have a very short commute. I live pretty close to the campus where I work. But, man, I got some significant breakthroughs in those moments in the car because there was space for it to happen. There was space for God to heal me of some things that had happened during the day. There was space for me to recognize places where I needed to ask for forgiveness. There were places where breakthrough happened and ideas and strategies were coming in that commute that I know I would have missed if I didn't make space for it. I told one of my friends that was my challenge for the week, and he said, yeah, man, you should stick to it. And he said something I thought was so powerful. He said, because when you're comfortable with the quiet, you're comfortable with yourself. And I think a lot of us probably struggle to be comfortable with ourselves, and so we fill the time with noise, and yet there is something really rich about this. And I'm not talking about just having a noiseless experience. I want us to have silence with expectancy that God's going to show up, that we're going to hear things, that things are going to be stirred. We've had this happen. For sure, you've probably walked in the woods before or walked somewhere that is soothing for you and just had kind of a spiritual experience in the silence of that. Maybe that's happened to you when you're just sitting on your porch or on your back deck or on your steps and you have a quiet moment. There's just a sense of peace and calm and kind of like, why don't I do this more often? So actually, that's my challenge for you if you need to add space is to do it more often. What would it look like for you to carve out 10 minutes every day to create space for silence, to just be? And here's how this works. If you fall asleep in those 10 minutes, it doesn't count. In fact, when you carve out 10 minutes of space, you can fall asleep within those 10 minutes. Guess what you might need more of? That's right, you might need more sleep. So you know exactly what your next step is. But why add this space? Why am I talking about space and sleep? Those two things today? Because I really believe that's where God is. God is in the silence and God is in the space in our lives. God can meet you in your busyness. God can work on you when you're at work. I'm not saying that. But more and more as I look through the Bible and I think about my own life, God invites us into the margins. God changes hearts in the margins. God gives breakthrough and vision in the margins. And God wants you to meet him in the margins of your time. If you would step into the principle of Sabbath, you will meet the Lord of the Sabbath and he will give you rest. And that's the invitation on the table. So what would it look like for you to do that? I'm going to challenge you to take one of these challenges and apply it for the entire month of May. That's the challenge. For some of you, what does that mean? It means May is sleep month for you. Sleep month. Figure out what that means. It might mean a regular bedtime. It might mean making that a regular prayer in the month of May, that God would really give you sleep if you're struggling with insomnia or anything that's keeping you from sleep. I think there's an invitation for that to change for you if you'll lean into God in that way. And maybe for others of us, it's adding space. Maybe it's no radio in the car. Maybe it's 10 minutes a day. Whatever it is, what if for the month of May you do that? Why a whole month? Because I know that if you do it for a whole month, it has a higher likelihood of becoming a habit for you. And I'll just tell you, man, if this becomes a habit for you, your life will be better. You will experience what Jesus promises. You'll experience joy. You'll experience wholeness. You'll experience life as God intended. So I want to pray that for you. I want to pray that you would experience God in the margins of time, through sleep or through space. Let's pray together. God, I ask that you would meet us in the simplicity of this invitation. I didn't talk about anything that was rocket science today, and I didn't talk about it for very long, because these are kind of like chess and checkers, minute to learn, lifetime to master realities for us. So I just pray that if we know that we're feeling prompted to sleep, God, I pray that you would bless the sleep of those that feel called to lean into you in that area. If there's insomnia, if there's anxiety or fears or recurrent things that are keeping us up at night, I pray that you would literally bring healing to those places. And God, for those of us who struggle to slow down and create space, I pray that you would help us to see our days the way that you see them, to find time in what seems to be a jam-packed day, to just slow down like we sang in the beginning, and let our hearts hear your sound. And as that happens, I know that you will give us what you promise. On the other side of rest is wholeness and strength and life and peace. And I thank you that you offer us that. So we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, Crossroads. Man, it's so good to be with you. I've been thinking about talking to people who are part of Crossroads digitally for a long, long, long time. There's gonna be more of that happening, but I got some stuff to fill you in on that I just want you to be able to take an action on and know how important you are. There's been a lot of stuff that's happening behind the scenes that you're not aware of. We're gonna let you know that in just a moment. One of the things that's going on is my personal engagement with Crossroads outside of Ohio and Kentucky is only increasing. I see it as a huge place where I'm putting my leadership and my creative energy. God is doing something in our church, and he's taking us to have a national presence like we would have never, ever thought 5 years ago. We had the I'm In campaign that many of us, all of us who were in at Crossroads, are giving above and beyond a regular gift for 3 years to do things such as what you're in right now, the digital space of Crossroads. For the last year, we put, well over $10 million into our digital infrastructure. Our current spend rate right now on digital stuff is $550,000 a month. That's on things that enable you to get this stream. That's on things that are in the app that you may not even know about. We're beta testing inside of the app. That's also on digital infrastructure inside of our sites. Going forward in the future of Crossroads, there's actually three expressions of Crossroads. The first, I call Crossroads Underwear. Crossroads Underwear, that's some of you. You woke up this morning or this evening or whenever you woke up and you either weren't close to a Crossroads site or you do live close to a Crossroads site but you're sick or you're not feeling right or maybe you're just freaked out by big crowds and dark rooms so you stay home in your underwear. And we embrace that. That's a really easy first step. That is totally, totally great. But what you need in Crossroads Underwear is different from what we're trying to give in our other expressions. Some point, maybe today you're just Crossroads Underwear because you're sick and you couldn't go to a Crossroads site and you live somewhere around a Crossroads site. Maybe you are in Topeka, Kansas. Maybe you're in Nashville, Tennessee. Maybe you're someplace else and there's really nobody else that you know who you can share this experience with. When there is, the next level is what is known as Crossroads Anywhere, where you can have Crossroads Anywhere because of the digital expression. You can band with people in your neighborhood, in your city, and sit down and engage in a service, worship together, debrief it together, maybe have a beer afterwards together or some coffee afterwards. Maybe you're thinking about how can we now get everybody together and do Go Local right here in this place. It's called Crossroads Anywhere. We are putting more resources to helping you if you are in Crossroads anywhere, and if even if you're in Crossroads underwear, there is a site that we've just developed. We want you to go in and enter your information. Do it right now. Do it right now. Actually, save it right now. It'll be right beneath me right here. Go do this right now. It's a way for you to declare yourself as, hey, I'm up for somebody talking to me, and I want to talk to you. We're not administering this as far as a staff member trying to go out and match everybody up necessarily, but this is a way for you to find people in your area to experience Jesus together. We only want to experience Crossroads to the degree that we can experience Jesus, that we can experience his power in us, or that we can seek his power in us. And this is a national movement that we want to get behind and only increase. You know, some people say, well, you know, if you're just connecting digitally and you're being the church, then that really isn't a valid expression of spiritual growth. That really isn't the same as kind of actually going to church, is it? Who says it isn't? You know, over the last 2,000 years, things that we think about what the church looks like have changed drastically. Around 600 AD, Constantine, under the influence of his Christian mother, the Roman emperor, said, we're going to start building churches and we're going to start enabling people to serve the church full-time on payroll. If you talk to a follower of Christ, before that happened in 600-ish AD, no one would have ever thought, that a valid expression of the church would be to go to a building, go away from your structure of relationships, go to a building and have somebody built into you who's paid. No one would have ever thought, but guess what? Now we know, hey man, that's healthy and that works. It doesn't have to be that way, but it's healthy and it works. Until about 1500-ish AD, no one had the opportunity to read their Bible in their own homes. Nobody. It's because the printing press, Gutenberg, hadn't done his deal yet and put the Word of God into average people's hands. So before that time, there wasn't a single person who could meet and hear the words of God in the Bible or could have their own knowledge base and disagree with the preacher. Not a single one. And come post the printing press, now preachers like me get second-guessed all the time, and we should, because you should be reading the Word of God on your very own. But no one before that ever thought that actually would happen. Before the year, oh gosh, what year? I don't know, I'm gonna guess the year 1987, 1988, 89, somewhere in there. No one would have thought that if you went to a church building, it would look like an auditorium with a balcony. Like church buildings are supposed to have pews, supposed to have crosses. Then a church in Chicago, Willow Creek Community Church, had a big old auditorium that looked like a movie theater. And like, no, churches aren't supposed to look like movie theaters. And what do you know? It works. The dynamic works. And everyone said, of course. Doesn't matter what brand of church you have or what kind of liturgy you have. People don't, yeah, that works. And of course, now it's normal. There's going to come a day where it's going to be utterly normative for you to be gathered with people in a digital expression, and your church is on the front lines of making that happen. Not just a digital expression as far as a worship experience, but a digital expression that enables you to have a great time with God every single day. A digital expression that visits you and understands how to encourage you as the day goes on. A digital expression that links you with other people. And that is what our church, your church, is in the midst of. And you are in on the ground floor of this. We want to see Crossroads anywhere and everywhere, all over the country, maybe all over the place internationally. We're not going to bite that off right now. We're just going to bite off our country because we've already got thousands of people who are meeting right now or tuning in around our country. We want to facilitate that. We're putting staff resources behind that. We're putting digital electronic resources behind that. We're putting prayer resources behind that. And then the third level, Crossroads Underwear, Crossroads Anywhere. The third level is Crossroads Right Here. Crossroads Right Here is a traditional site. When I say traditional, I mean it's a site that Crossroads understands. Three of them in Kentucky, seven-ish of them up in Ohio. It's a place where you understand, you come in and there's coffee and there's seats and there's a band and there's music and there's children's ministry, there's kids club, all that stuff. Crossroads Right Here, where a sign goes out. Crossroads Oakley, right here. Crossroads Andover, right here. Crossroads Richmond, right here. Crossroads Oxford, right here. Where a sign actually goes out and says, here we are, right here. our sites, our traditional sites, our brick and mortar sites, whether we are renting them or whether we own them, those sites are likened to Jesus as old wine. I was reading my time with God just a few weeks ago in the book of Matthew. It's repeated a few times in the Bible, but Jesus says, I'm doing a new thing, put the new thing into new wineskin, because there has to have new wineskin for the fermentation process, and that way both the new wineskin and the old wineskin is preserved. When Crossroads first started, I really thought negatively of the kind of church background that I had that was very dull and very religious and very very numbing, and actually didn't have a high value on scripture, didn't have a high value on innovation, didn't have a high value on engagement. And I would refer to that as an old wineskin. It's actually not an old wineskin. It's actually a dead wineskin. Old wineskin, when we think of things that are old wineskins versus the new wineskins, unfortunately for me, for most of the last 21 years, I referred to things that are an old wineskin sort of in the negative, but Jesus isn't really referring to that. He's saying the old wineskin needs to be preserved. So therefore, you don't put the fermenting juice in an old wineskin because it's brittle. It'll break up and it'll mess up the beautiful wine inside there right now. Old wine tastes better. It does. Old wine tastes better, especially back in Jesus' day. So Jesus isn't saying, hey, let's get rid of the old expensive wine that tastes really, really good. He's not saying that. He's saying, I'm doing a new thing, so I need a new container for a new thing. And guess what? The new thing eventually seasons and becomes the refined thing that's better tasting. Crossroads right here is an old wineskin for Crossroads. We've been doing brick and mortar, meet in an official building for 21 years. It's an old wineskin. It's a good wineskin. It's a very, very good tasting wine. We want everybody to get to that. Eventually, in Crossroads Anywhere, as we start to see a critical amount of groups popping up in a city, and we've got two cities nationally right now where we're looking to go from just an anywhere presence to a right here presence, we start to engage to a deeper degree and start to see how can we come in with additional staffing support? How can we come in with some more resources for you? How can we come in with whatever it is to have an old wineskin, a Crossroads right here presence that really enables you to flip your city, to flip the city in which you're in. And that's where we're going and that's where we're headed to. And you're a part of it right now. You're in right now. You're in the new wineskin. And I want to encourage you, don't stay in the wineskin of just observing something that's on the screen. We're going to keep trying to make our broadcasts, our music, our teaching, our engagement, our digital tools on the app, as we have others that are in development. We're going to keep trying to make those as powerful and as potent as possible. But do not settle. We're only a digital expression of the church. Our digital infrastructure is here to help you engage with your neighbors. It's here to help you to engage with other people that want to seek after the heart of God, that want to understand who Jesus is, that want to go to deeper levels of fulfillment with him. So please, go outside yourself. If you're just in underwear right now, okay. If you're in underwear now, that's okay to stay there for a while. But man, you got to get into being the church, which is what being with other people is all about. If you're in anywhere right now, put your name in there. Put your name in that thing that we've created so you can start to link and find who's who. We may look on this little first 15-minute rah-rah talk we've had together. We may look at this as a pivotal defining point, not just in your life, not just in your city, but in our country. We have the opportunity to do something really, really powerful in our country. Jesus is all about a movement, and we've created an infrastructure that is much more movemental friendly than is holding the movement back for a traditional brick and mortar site. We want to get there eventually because we all still love to be in uplifting environments where there's people and all that kind of stuff. It's an effective model. It is. But we're not waiting for that. Right now, the movement goes. The movement goes by you engaging in Crossroads Anywhere right now and praying for God's favor on your life and on the thing that God may want you to do right now. So I just want to pray for you. As I picture what your living room right now, or your bedroom, or as I picture the rental place where you are right now, I just want to pray for you and your community. God, I pray for these people. They are apostles. These are the ones who are sent. These are the ones who are innovative. These are the ones who I'm kind of preaching to the choir. I don't have to tell them that this is a valid expression of the church. They understand it. They know it. And I want you to cause their heart to beat faster, cause it to beat faster, to reach out and be gatherers and includers in their area. God, give them your strength, give them their grace right now. Put in their minds, God, give us right now a picture, a name, an image right now, somebody who you want us to contact this week. God, we assume that that's from you. And we assume you're moving us here, God. Let us be your hands and your feet. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us this week. It was great to be together. Make sure you go to crossroads.net/connect and put yourself on the map and say hi to someone near you. And be back here next week as we continue in our margin series. It's going to be great.